Amen. A lot of fellowshipping going on this morning. Amen. Let's find our seats and get our minds in the spirit of worship this morning. I worked on these songs all week, and the Lord just gave me these. And some of them you know, some of them are new to me, new to you probably. I'll probably get in trouble for this after church today with my mom. But I gotta serve somebody bigger than her that tells me what to do. Amen. So pray for me, and I just pray that, you know, not that I would do a good job this morning. That's not what it's about. I just been praying that the Lord would, the Holy Spirit would fall here this morning. As we sing and worship to Him this morning. Lord, just fall on us this morning. Jesus, fall on us. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has captured me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Amazing love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, and sun forbid to shine. But God, who's called me here below, will be forever mine. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Unending love, amazing grace. Amen, Father. We love You this morning, Lord. And we realize, Lord, that You are worthy, Father. You are worthy this morning.
Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, You are
Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, I worship you. Worthy, he is worthy, King of kings, Lord of lords, you are worthy. Worthy this morning. He is worthy. Amen. I'm going to teach you a new song this morning. Probably not new to some of you that listen to Christian radio. But I love the words of this song. It speaks to everybody here this morning. How powerful the name of Jesus is. I remember one time I heard this testimony of this man that his daughter was sick and dying, and she was in the hospital room, and he went in to pray for her, but he couldn't speak. All he could say was the name of Jesus. And his daughter shared this testimony later after that, and I guess she was having like an outer body experience going on her way to heaven, leaving this world, and she could see the name of Jesus coming through on a flame right through her body, and it was her father's prayer, and all he could say was Jesus, Jesus, that's all he could say. But you know what? That's enough. Amen. Jesus is enough. Amen. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Well, I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to speak, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Well, I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Speak it this morning. Over fear and all anxiety, and every soul held captive by depression. Yes, I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus from the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, yes, Jesus from the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus from the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Your name is power, claim it, healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold, send every shadow, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Speak it this morning. Over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. We speak Jesus. We speak Jesus. Jesus.
If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14, I'll be starting there this morning. Love a good New Testament opening, amen? Mark chapter 14. Pray everyone's had a good week this week. Pray for my voice this morning. Amen. Whatever they had on fire a couple days ago, blew through Indiantown. It affected me big time. And I don't do good with smoke. Amen. So I know I won't do good in hell. That's why I got saved. Amen. Oh, man. Good to have a good joke every once in a while. They say that laughter is medicine to the soul, amen. If I can get my notes in order here, I'll get started this morning. Pastor Pedro, can you turn those lights on? It seems darker in here this morning for some reason. Devil don't want me to see. Don't want me to talk, don't want me to see. I don't know if you feel this or not in the age that we're living in, but the devil don't want us doing a whole lot of anything, amen? From the news that I've gotten for months, the things that people have been going through, it is not something the enemy wants for us, and that's to live, amen? He does not want us to live. He wants to bring against us the charge of death, that there is no power in our Christ, there's no power in our testimonies, but then there is the believer who believes on Christ, that he is those things. And it is in your life, and you standing fast in the trouble or the trial that you're in, that is proving the devil and the world wrong. Amen. That our God is alive and well. There is no grave that has held him, nor will there ever be one. And there's no grave that's going to hold us. Amen. We may visit the ground for a little while, but I'm getting up. Amen. I'm getting up and going on with the Lord. Mark chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 32. Amen. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, now I'm reading out of the King James Version this morning in Mark 14 specifically. So if it's not lining up there, that's the New King James Version. I wanted to give you a heads up, amen? But it says something distinctly in Mark 14 in the King James Version that I want to bring out. So in verse 32, and it says, and they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I shall pray. And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible that the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto you. Take away this cup from me, but nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And he came and found them sleeping, and said unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch but an hour? And watch and pray. May not need it. Don't laugh. That hurts my feelings. Let's pray this morning. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity to dwell in the house of the Lord, to dwell with like-minded believers, men and women of God, who are not living their life, Lord, without trouble, but they are living victoriously in their life because the world has trouble, but you've overcome the world. We live above that, God, because we live in you, and you live in us, God. And I'm so grateful this morning for the opportunity to testify of the goodness of our God, the power and the might of our Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity today. Thank you for those that came. Thank you for the new visitors, God, those that are visiting, Lord, and those that are thinking about calling this their church home, Lord God. Thank you for them. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you bless us today with your presence. Father, if your presence does not come, it would have been meaningless for us to show up today. It's not about gathering. It's not about putting our name next to a Sunday. It's about coming into the dwelling place of an almighty God and being in your presence, God. In your presence, sickness flees. Depression vanquishes, Lord God. Father, death runs and hides because you've been victorious over it, God. So, Father, it is not the gathering place that we worship. It is your presence, God, because in your presence, all things are possible. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, Lord. So we find freedom in your presence, God. And where is your presence? Except when two or three gather, Lord, there you will be also, God, the power of fellowship, Jesus. So, Father, we thank you, God, for the fellowship of this body. We thank you for the inhabitants of your presence, God. And we look forward to the testimony of your life in our life as we walk on in this world, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just read to you Mark chapter 14,
a few verses out of that account. And I would title this message this morning, Prayer, a Meeting Place with God. Amen? Prayer, a Meeting Place with God. I want to highlight some things this morning for us. Number one, prayer is relational. Amen? Prayer is not coming with a laundry list of things. Prayer is not honeydews. Amen. Prayer is not that. Lots of times we come to the Lord, we lay our declaration on the altars of God, and we say, fix it, do it. That's not relational. Amen. Prayer is relational. Prayer is coming into relationship with God. Amen. Prayer is what brings us in to the presence of God. Our seeking Him is what advances us to being with Him. Amen? It is the doorbell. It is the phone ringing. Amen? That He then invites us in. And then prayer shows us God's heart. Amen? It shows us God's heart. And it also shows God our heart. I want to just give you a few examples of this morning, that God has a place of meeting for us, and that is prayer. It's not just on a Sunday morning. It's not just on a Wednesday night. It is any time you need the Lord, you can call upon His name, because He's never left you, nor has He forsaken you. Amen? He is always with us, which means any time we call on the name of the Lord, He's going to be able to be there, and He's going to answer us. You know, the Word of God likens our relationship with God the way that a man and a woman are joined in marriage. Amen? And that is symbiotic, I believe, because there's not one man in here that can live all week long and not have one word with his wife and then come home one day out of the week and have conversation with her and expect that relationship to last. Can I get a witness? Amen. Anybody go a few days without talking to your spouse? How's that work for us? Not too good. Amen. I'm just going to focus on the men right now. I'm not good. I would never dare to challenge a woman in that. Y'all don't ever do none of that. Amen. But it'd be very difficult for us to have relationship with our spouses if we didn't talk. If our only interaction was physical, that wouldn't be right, would it? I'll tell you right now, with talking in my relationship, we still don't communicate real good. Amen? I'm not good with words. You know that. Just because I say lots of words doesn't mean I'm good with them. But it is relational. It is about communication. It is about letting God know what's on my heart, but not stopping there, but waiting and letting God tell you what's in His heart. Amen? Many times we get frustrated with God because we present God with prayer. We present God with request, and then we walk away. And when those requests are not met, almost like a child with a Christmas list, when those presents aren't under the tree, there's disappointment. Amen? But they don't know why certain gifts weren't bought. Can I get a witness from a parent in here? You ever bought your children gifts and they not understand why they got that gift and not another one? But sometimes there's a reason they didn't get those gifts. Amen? There's a reason as a parent. Maybe you were having a hard time putting food on the table in that season of your life. But you didn't want to burden them with that knowledge, that truth. Amen? So they never know. See, God understands because, as Pastor Pedro has already shared this morning, He's sovereign. And He understands why all things are. And He presents to us what He can in the moments that He can, for our good, that we not be discouraged, that we not bear a burden that is unnecessary in our life, because we have an Abba Father, a close, intimate, relational Father. That's what Abba Father means, relational Father, intimate Father, someone who knows us better than we know ourselves. And the question in prayer is how do I come into prayer and relate with that? How do I relate with God? And like I said a minute ago, there is a place that we can meet with God. And I want to just take you first to Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 9. where it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord." Now, this is Adam and Eve after they had already participated in taking the fruit of the tree. "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. And God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.'" Now, this gives us an understanding that there is a meeting place with God. There is a place that God, when he was walking through the garden, had expected to find Adam and Eve. It implies that maybe daily, it doesn't give specifics, but maybe daily, every day, God met with Adam, and God met with Eve and walked with them relationally. He knew them, and they knew God. And they would walk, and they would conversate, and they would talk with one another, knowing the heart and the mind of the other. It gives you that instance in this word that God was relational with Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve with God. But this moment, now there is some form of blockade that is put in the presence of God. That when God had come to meet with them, something had interjected itself that did not allow Adam and Eve to feel comfortable coming into the presence of God. It did not make them feel comfortable going to the meeting place with God. Now, there's two types of things. Religion will tell you, "Oh, I just crashed my car. I hope my dad doesn't find out." And then there's relational. "I just crashed my car. I better call my dad." You see what I'm saying? That's just simple terms. But you see this detest in Adam and Eve to the presence of God. They have realized now that something has come between them and God, that they don't feel comfortable in the presence of God. See, the enemy wants us as believers to feel uncomfortable in the presence of our God. He does not want you to pray because he knows that if you pray, it will lead you into a meeting place with God that is relational. It'll bring you into a place with God, into the presence of God, where the world and the weight of it will fall off of you in the moment. See, Adam and Eve were formed in the image of God, and they were naked. That's what Genesis 2 says. But there was no shame in them. They did not connect the dots as my nakedness being shame. But now all of a sudden, they're shamed. See, now all of a sudden, as things go on in the week, as troubles arise, as sin maybe creeps in somewhere in your life, stuff that didn't bother you before because the grace of God was so real and relevant in your life, now all of a sudden that doesn't matter anymore. Now I feel insecure about going to the Father to request of him, to share my heart with him, to share my mind with him, and to hear what he has to say in return. And little by little, what was once a close relationship is now separated by things in your life. Things that you don't even know if God can forgive you over. Things that you don't know if God would even approve of. You know, most prayers are not prayed, not because people are afraid to pray them, but because they're afraid of the answer. You ever know, you ever feel that way? I don't want to pray it because I don't want to know it. Don't ask questions you don't want to know the answer. You ever heard that? That means there's fear in you that maybe our Abba Father might be withholding something from us, might want to not give it to us for our state that we're in. But that's not the nature of God. See, God comes in all knowing. God comes in knowing our nakedness. Amen? There's nothing hidden from God. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how you've done it. You don't think that God, omnipotent God, was not somewhere in the linear universe watching this whole scene play out between Adam and Eve and the serpent. And watch what had taken place. God is not ignorant that when he walked into the garden and called on the name of Adam, that he didn't know where he was. Now, we read that as if there's ignorance in God, that God didn't know where God knew where Adam was. The problem was is Adam didn't know where he was. Adam, do you know where you are? Because you're not where you're supposed to be. somewhere along the line, you've lost your reality and revelation of my heart for you, as if this would have hidden you from me, as if those fig leaves were covering enough for you. See, if you would have known my heart, you would have known that you didn't need to hide from me, because my nature is mercy. My nature is grace. It's unfathomable to you. But now you have someone else's knowledge. You have someone else's gift of knowledge, someone else's say-so in you. See, folks, this is the problem. We prey on one another and to one another. When I have trouble, I go to wise counsel. We take that little scripture and go, there is much blessing in wise counsel. You remember that scripture? There's great blessing in it. But here's the problem. You don't go to wise counsel before you go to God. But that's what we do. Just because someone is esteemed in the church, just because they're a pastor, just because they're deacons or board, just because they're those things, doesn't mean they have the heart of God for you. Because no one can have the heart of God for you the way that God has it for you. So many times what we should do is we should first go to God, and we should receive God's counsel, receive God's heart, receive God's direction. And then when we have that nestled in our bosom, then we can go into this world and go, how can I bring this out? That's where wise counsel comes in. There's a zealous fire in me to walk with God in this way. Lots of young people in that nature, amen? When I was a young man, I remember hearing the voice of God and God telling me to go do something. And the very first thing I did when I heard God is I went to somebody who might know about God. And I said, is this crazy? And they said, yeah, it's crazy. But we deal with crazy here because we've got faith. I've done some crazy things for the Lord. So I understand that God might ask something of you that might seem crazy. So we go to God first. We get the heart of God in us because we're in relationship with God. We're made already in His image. We're made to bear the image of God. Don't you know that? You're made to understand the heart of God. Isn't that wonderful? You have the capacity to know what God wants and what God needs. Isn't that wonderful? That we're not meant to walk around aimlessly questioning what is next in our life or what does God want for us. And if we did have question, has He not written it so clearly in the Word of God that when we hear the voice of God by His Spirit, that we can come to His Word and it would align with something in there because they're the same person. The Word of God became flesh. Amen. So now we have Christ speaking to us in our heart by the Spirit of God, the same one who fleshed Himself out and made Himself Word, and we can join those together. And that's how you live in power. That's how you live in abundance. That's how you live over all those troubles and trials. Not because it's us that lives, but because you're putting the pieces together where man couldn't put it together. God can. God can. When you don't have understanding, God does. Job, in the trials of his life, goes unto God, just give me an answer. And God simply says, you can't handle it. I could give you an answer, but you wouldn't understand because you don't have my heart right now. You've not been close to me to understand my heart why something like this could happen. But I'm going to welcome you in, Job. I'm going to welcome you into this moment in time with me for a time. Because what did Job do? What's the first thing Job ran to when trouble happened? He says he tore his clothes, he covered himself in ashes, and he went before the Lord in prayer. Isn't that right? And after a time in the Lord, God then revealed to him. And what did he do with the news that God gave him? Was he angry with God for God's response? No, he worshiped God. He said, when I first started this thing, I may not have understood. But now that I've sat with you for a while, I see it the way that you see it. And I can accept it. Even though it was not beneficial to my flesh, God, I see the end result is beneficial, not only to my life, but everyone's life that is associated with my life. See, Job encountered God and was relational with Him and gained understanding in his trouble. Folks, there's a meeting place with God, and it's called prayer. casting off everything and running to the Lord. It says that he is a strong tower, and when I run into him, I find strength. That's what his word says. So when we are in trouble, or we are in joy, or we are in question, we can run to the Father, and we can know that he will share his heart with us. It doesn't, we're naked before him. Isn't that Adam and Eve go, we were afraid because we were naked. You've always been naked. Isn't that crazy? God just was looking, you've always been naked. I've always seen your nakedness, but it never hindered me from walking with you. But now that you're aware of your nakedness, it hinders you from walking with me. You see that difference? See, what you're going through, where you're at, has not hindered God from coming to you. It's only hindered you from coming to the Lord. God cares that much about it. He would step over it all. He stepped out of eternity just to know you, just to prove to you that your life meant something to him, and he wanted a relationship with you. And then he formed this beautiful relationship with us where he says, all you've got to do is come to me, and I'll be with you. So we know that there's a place of meeting with God. And what does this place of meeting produce? Simply this, I've said it in the first few points that I had for you. It is so, let me get back up here so I can read it. Prayer is what brings us in, showing God our heart and exposing God's heart to us. It is all about knowing God's heart and knowing that God knows ours. You know, as a child, I would get spankings. And you know what hurt the worst? Was not the belt or the spoon or whatever my mom would grab. That wasn't what hurt the most. A lot of times it was, I don't know what I did. Anybody ever feel that way? If you just tell me why I'm getting this, why? Because I said so. That's a lot of the response that you've been given. Maybe a lot of the response you've given your children and grandchildren. Rayleigh, when she was a baby, you know, they just pick up on things that you say. You know, that's why no is so predominant, because you're always telling them no. No, don't do that. Or mine. I don't even know where they get mine from. But it's no and mine. Selah's there now. But Rayleigh, when she was a little baby and she was learning words, some of the words, first word she said was, because I said so. You remember that? She'd say something, you go, why? Says I said so. That's what she'd say, because I said so. And it's like, oh, we should change some things. We should change some things. God is willing to give you an answer. Sometimes it's not going to make sense to you, but it's an answer nonetheless. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But Jesus came to close that gap of loftiness. Jesus came that you not be down here and God be up here. Jesus came that we might be together, that we might have understanding of why we're going through what we're going through, why we're seeing what we're seeing, why we're experiencing what we're experiencing. It's relational that Jesus would bring us up and meet with us and give us the why. God doesn't have to. I mean, God told Job, he said, where were you when I flung the stars into the sky? Where were you when I told the ocean to stop where it stops? Where were you in those things? Just to get Job an understanding, I don't have to tell you why. I don't have to. You weren't there. You don't understand. You're going to be long gone before the fullness of what I may have for you is going into effect. But you should know this, that you can trust me. And Job came in receiving God's heart, going, you know what, God, I may not understand, but I feel what you feel. I recognize that what you have for me is best. I recognize that this isn't the end. I recognize there's something so much greater, and you've chosen me to be a part of it. You've welcomed me in to be a part of it. Amen? I want to give you a quick example of this in 2 Samuel chapter 7. It says, now it came to pass when the king was dwelling in his house. It's talking about David. And the Lord had given him rest from all of his enemies all around. That the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside curtain tents." Then Nathan said to the king, "Go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt, even to this day, but have moved about in a tent and in a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about with all the children of Israel, have I ever spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a great name like the name of the great men who were on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously, since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused you to rest from all your enemies. Also the Lord tells you that he will make you a house." Now what is that saying? It's simply saying this. It says that David, in this moment that he's sitting in the testimony of God, he's now sitting in the promise of God. He says, "How is it that I live in a house of cedar, yet God lives in a house of animal skins out here, in curtains and tents?" Basically saying, "I'm not okay with God living like this while I live like this." And Nathan responds, "Do whatever is good to your heart." And then God speaks to him that night and basically says this, "Who told you I wanted a house?" That's ultimately what he's saying. Who have I ever told that I want a dwelling place with my people, a permanent one? Have I ever said that to anyone? God's saying that. He said, "Have I ever said?" No, I've never said that at all. So where is this coming from in David? It's simply this, that David was close with God, so close with God that God never informed David that he should build him a house. But he was so close with God that God's heart was David's heart, and David's heart was God's heart, that it was in David's heart in the same way that it was in God's heart. God needs a house. See, when you're walking with God and you're meeting with God and you're in relationship with God, there are times that God doesn't have to say nothing to you because your heart is like his heart. Your mind is like his mind. Because I'm walking with the closeness of God. You look in the New Testament where the testimony of Peter, it said that they would lay bodies at his feet just so his shadow would fall on them. Now, is it because Peter was a great man that his shadow fell on those people? No, I believe this. I believe that Peter walked so closely with God, and God walked so closely with Peter, that it wasn't Peter's shadow that fell on him. It was Jesus's. They were walking so closely that it was Jesus' shadow that fell on them. It's relational, folks. It only comes through this meeting place of prayer. Are you going through it? Is anyone not going through it? When's the last time you ran to God and not to the news? Ran to God and not to your spouse? Ran to God and not to your friends? Ran to God instead of all of these other influences and just said, "God, I need to know your heart here. I need to understand what's going on in life right now. Because I'm about to have to make some decisions. I'm about to have to do some things, God, and I don't know which direction to go. I'm already in a place. So I'm not trying to find myself in another place. So God, I need to know, what's your will? What's your heart? What do you want from me?" Folks, you can find it in prayer. You can find it in prayer. You can find it in close relationship with the Lord. Mark chapter 14 says that Jesus himself knew where he could find the will of God. He went into that garden and he prayed a real prayer. Amen? Anybody ever just pray a real prayer? You throw caution to the wind with prayer and you say, I don't have time for pretty words, Jesus. I'm going to tell you what I got. Anybody ever prayed those prayers? Them are real prayers. Amen? I've stood out in my yard and shook my fist at God. And I said, God, I didn't bring me here. I don't want to be here. I didn't bring me here. You brought me here. You need to explain. You need to help me in this moment. Anybody ever had a prayer like that? You gotta show up. Because I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to say. You brought me here, and there's trouble all around me. My enemies surround me. So you have to show up, or else I'm going to be overcome by this. And I know that's not your will. I know you led me here for a purpose, and it wasn't to snuff me out now. It's those prayers that God dwells in. He gets into your heart. He knows your heart because he's touched with the feelings of your infirmities. He knows you. And he knew Jesus. And he came down to Jesus. Luke says that an angel of the Lord came and renewed his strength. Wouldn't that be amazing in your prayer time? That you were just so sorrowful in the Lord that God sent an angel and he laid his hands on you and strengthened you to walk through what you're walking through, to give you what you needed. But I want to give you an answer today. I want to give you practicality. Anybody like practical preaching? I love it. I think what preachers say sounds pretty and great. But I want to go, how do I live that out? What am I to do? How do I walk in that? Well, Jesus gives us that example. It says that Jesus went out a little ways in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he took three of his disciples with him. Let me tell you something. Everybody can't go where you're going. There's some voices that are going to persuade you not to go into intimate places with Jesus. And you have to be okay with God calling you out to be just a chosen few to see those intimate things. So Jesus calls those three out. I believe Jesus called those three out for this specific reason. John, James, and Peter, what did they say at the final feast with Jesus? I will follow you to death. I will not surrender. I will not lay over here and allow this to happen to you. I will go with you. That's what they said. Arrogance. Folks, arrogance is going to get in your way of being intimate with Jesus. Being strong in your trial, being strong in your trouble is going to lead you to say, God, I don't need your help right now. God's going to be looking for you in the garden. He's going to call your name out. Where are you? And you're going to be over here going, I can handle this for a little while longer. I can handle it. That's pride in you, thinking that you're good enough or you have what it takes to overcome something that is a real assignment to deal with your life. Not God's assignment, but the enemy's assignment to rob you, to steal things from you, to destroy you. So you can be prideful, just like these three men were prideful going in. And Jesus said, I want you to come in because I want you to see what it's going to take. If you are really going to do what I've taught you to do going forward, you're going to have to see this right here. So he invited them and he said, stay awake, pray that you don't enter into temptation. And Jesus went just a little bit further than them. And he began to pray, Father, if it be your will, take this from me. Do you know it's okay to say, God, I don't want to do this? There's some church folks that don't think that, and it makes them bitter with God. To think, I've got to endure this. I've got to go through it. And I don't even have a choice. I don't even have the ability to say anything about it. Folks, you can pray real prayers. Because Jesus did. He was all of God and all of man. But in that moment, he cried out to God and he said, Father, if it be your will, can you take this from me? I don't want to bear it. I don't want to bear this real weight. I know that you have led me to this moment, and this is what you need from me, but I don't know that I can bear it. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. It is coming into a relationship and going, I don't want to do some things. When I got married to my wife, I found out a whole lot of things about her that I never knew when we moved in together. I thought we liked each other until that moment. And then you move in and you recognize things. You see things, you pick up on things, right? Same for her to me. And marriages that are successful, what do? In those situations, you compromise. You compromise. I know you don't like this about me, and I love you enough to change it. I love you enough to change it. Or I love you enough to deal with it, to bear with it. One of the two. Some things, they are those things. They are what they are, and they don't apologize for it. It's relational. Not my will, but your will be done, God. God didn't change his mind, but Jesus went three times. Three times he went to the Lord, asked him. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Didn't Paul go three times and said, take this thorn from me? What's his response? What was God's response? For my grace is sufficient for you. I'm not going to remove this from your life. You want me to take something, but I'm wanting to give something. See, a lot of times our mentality is, well, God's not doing it the way I want him to do it. God, I want you to take it from me. And God goes, no, I want to give you something that is greater than what you want me to take. But this is what it says. It says that when he came back numerous times, three times, the first time he came back, it mentions the second time that he came back, that they probably had something to say the first time, some kind of excuse. Oh, we weren't sleeping. We were praying. We were praying with our eyes closed and snoring. They probably had some form of response to Jesus when he said, could you not pray but for a little while with me? And so they probably had something to say, some excuse back. Because the second time he comes back, it says this time they had nothing to say. Right? This time they had no response to him, which maybe the first time they did. Second time, no response. They knew they'd fallen asleep. They knew they failed God. And the third time, Jesus comes back and he goes, sleep on now. Take your rest, for it's done. The will of the Father is done. And then he says, get up. Can you bring that up for me right here? You don't have the King James Version, so I'll just read it to you. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he came the third time and said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Excuse me. Rise up. Let us go. Now, isn't that a contradiction? Because Jesus just said, sleep on, take your rest, right? What would you take away from that? All right, I'm going to plop my pillow up and I'm going to go back to sleep. But then immediately after that, he says, now get up. Now, what's he talking about? Jesus is explaining to them, the will of the Father is done. Your humanly effort is not going to take you any farther. It's not about what you can do or how strong you are or how good you are at praying. It's not going to help you. Rest now to your flesh. Rest now to your striving. Because what I brought you in here to show you is I'm the Son of God. And I came to kneel before my Father, to make my requests known to him, but not just make it known to him, but to hand everything about me over to him and say, whatever you want to do with my life, God, you have freedom to do it. Folks, when we come in to pray, practical prayer is you can say what you want to say to God, but if that prayer does not conclude with, but here's my life, Lord, whatever you want with it, I surrender it. I'm going to rest in this. I'm not going to worry about this no more. It's on you. I'm giving it to you. Because that's what Jesus said. He said, rest on to this. Your striving is not going to do it no more. Give it to the Lord. And when you do, you can get up. Get up. And let's keep going with God. God's going to do what he's going to do. Amen? He is. Your situation right now that you're in, every individual in here, when you give it to God, is going to be whatever God wants it to be. Whether you agree with it or you don't, he's sovereign. He's going to do what he wills. And you can be either on his team or against him. But man, I don't want to live out the rest of my life bitter with God. Out there in the bushes going, God, I'm naked. I don't want to meet with you. I don't want to live my life like that. Just because I think that God is going to be a certain way towards me. I want to meet with God where he tells me to meet with him. And today, we have that opportunity. I want to do our closing a little different today, okay? There's people with real struggles in their life today. And now is the opportunity for us as a church to do what the Word of God says, anoint with oil and lay our hands on them. We have that opportunity as the body of Jesus to do that, to bear with one another their burdens. If it's rejoicing, we all rejoice. But if it's weeping, we all weep. Amen. I want to just share this last scripture. I know it's 12:08, and I'm so sorry. You're always allowed to leave at 12 if you want to. Hebrews chapter 4 says this. It says in verse 14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our times of need. Folks, we can do that this morning. I'm not worried about music and setting the mood. What I would ask you is this morning, if you have a need in your life and you say, you know what, I've been wrestling with God. My will and his will have been wrestling in it. I don't want it to be my will. I want it to be his. Can we come forward this morning? If you're troubled in your body, if you're troubled in your home, if you're troubled in your mind, if there's trouble in your life and you've been battling with this, can I offer to you today, there's a meeting place with the Lord. And it's in prayer. He leads us there. He led those men there. He said, come with me and let me show you. Let me show you where I get my answers. Let me show you how I get through. Folks, we have that great high priest in Jesus. That's what he's done for all of us. He comes in these moments that we need prayer, and he takes us by the hand. He says, let me take you to my Father. Let me lead you in to my Father, that your request might be made known. Boldly before the mercy. Don't matter what you've been going through. Doesn't matter if you feel naked before the Lord. Doesn't matter. Jesus comes in. He says, I'll cover you with my blood. I'll take you to my Father. Are there people here that need prayer? Can we come to the front? If you need prayer, Pastor Pedro, we've got oil here. We want to anoint you and pray. You just going through it. Anything you need for prayer. Folks, the Drayton family needs our prayers. They need our prayers. Well, I think we all need it, to be honest with you. I think we all need it. But if we can be honest this morning and say, I need prayer. I want my church to pray for me. Folks, when Jesus invited those men, he invited them to the most intimate place that anyone would have ever gone. These men right now are inviting you to the most intimate place of their life. Amen. The deepest struggle, the deepest hurt. They're inviting you to pray with them. So can we together pray? Brother, will you go ahead and start anointing them? And when we anoint them as a body, if you're able, can we come around them and lay our hands on them and pray for the will of God? Folks, you can request what you want to. Who knows what God's answer is? It may be healing. It may be freedom. It may be power. It may be miraculous. Don't rob yourself from that. If that's what it is, come get prayer. Amen? If it's no, God, you have something better for me then. So can we come and just pray for those? Thank you, Jesus. Just lay your hands on somebody and just begin to lift up prayer. You don't have to know what they're going through. God knows what you're going through. He knows your heart. You're naked before Him. He sees everything that you're troubled with. And He loves you. Lord, thank you, Jesus. As a body, as we're here, God, praying one for another, caring for our burdens, Lord Jesus, one for another. You're in our midst, Lord. This is that secret place your word talks about, God, where we're welcomed in by your Spirit. And Father, we boldly come, Lord Jesus. Some of us, Lord, can barely even walk in your presence, Lord God, but we'll crawl if it means laying down at your feet, God, the trouble that we're in, what we're going through, the necessity of an answer in this season. Father, we lay our hearts before you, God, and say simply, I want your heart, Lord. I want to see, I want to know, I want to understand. But nevertheless, God, not my will, but your will be done. Father, we've seen healing throughout this scripture. I've seen healing throughout my life, God. Father, I know you are capable of healing bodies. So, Father, right now we lift up bodies that are tormented by infirmities. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus. You say by faith, pray for those that are sick that they might recover. So today we're laying claim to that promise, Lord, praying that if there are those that are injured in their body with infirmity, God, in any way, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Heal those bodies, God. Father, if lives are tormented by the enemy with anxiety or struggle, God, Father, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. You came that our lives might be at peace in your Spirit and in your presence, God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We speak that over this congregation and those that are here, Lord. There is no thing that our God cannot do. Father, you are sovereign, Lord. So what you will it in our life. Do it in our life. We trust you this morning, Jesus. Father, as those three men, God, we can't do it in our power. We can't do it in our strength. So we lay that down now, Lord, in this place of prayer. And we say, God, I lay down my efforts. I lay down my strengths. And I say, God, I can't fix this. I want you to take it from me, Lord. Whatever your will is, God, not mine. Two wills went into that garden, but one came out, and it was the will of the Father. Lord, we ask that today, God, for your will, the will of the Father. You're so wonderful to us, God. You welcome us in, Lord, despite our nakedness. Despite our running, despite our arrogance, God, you're so wonderful to us, God. Thank you, Jesus. We know every person that has been saved, God, every person that is lifting up these issues, God, you don't turn a blind eye to it or a deaf ear to it, God, you hear it. And Father, in your own way, you're going to do your will in their life. So, Father, we bear it with them, God, whatever it is. We bear it with you, Christ Jesus. Have your way in us. As your word said, your grace is sufficient. Whatever you're not willing to take today, God, give. Give in grace. Give in grace, God, to bear it, God, as Jesus himself in Luke had to be touched by an angel, God, to give him strength, God. We ask that for this body. Give, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this body. Thank you for this church that will pray. I pray we continue, God. Father, let this spark in us, Lord, a truth that, Father, no matter where we are or what we've been through, we can come into that upper room with you, God. You'll get down on your hands and knees, Jesus, and you'll wash our feet, and you'll commune with us, God. Doesn't matter what we've walked through, you'll wash our feet, and you'll dwell with us, God. Let us be like David, Lord God. Let us know your heart. Let us know your heart, God. Let us know your mind. Let that come from a closeness that we found in you relationally. We honor you and we thank you, God. I know we've gone over time this morning, Lord, but I pray you honor those that have waited. You bless them, Lord Jesus. Bless this house, God. All we can do is give it to you, Jesus. Whatever you will, it's going to be done, Lord. We want to walk in truth, in faith, in joy, whatever the circumstance, God. Whatever the path you lead us, we trust you. Oh, we praise you today. Lord, we lift all these things in your name. As we conclude, Lord, we give it to you. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you for agreeing with us this morning. God bless you. If you need your church, if you need your brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a prayer chain. We have prayer meeting. Just give us a call. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. God bless you.